I am not just here for announcements. I'm preaching this morning. So if you... Oh, no. Please don't do that to me. I do not like attention, please. I'm all about Jesus. I did want to take a quick survey. Did everybody have a good Thanksgiving? Has everybody had a good Thanksgiving? It was all good? Awesome. Yeah, I know some people start Christmas right after Thanksgiving, and some people, they start it, like, right after Halloween, or maybe you never took your Christmas lights down, so that's good. We're getting the Christmas spirit in here. We already got a tree and everything. And then with that, we also have a new series. So this series is called The Great Gift Exchange, and the title of today's sermon is Replacing Your Hurt with His Healing. And man, I'm telling you, you don't know how excited I am for this. I spent a whole week of getting ready for this. But without the Holy Spirit, I am nothing. And so if y'all wouldn't mind, we're going to pray real fast before we get into God's word. And so let's pray. Holy Father, my words mean nothing without your Holy Spirit inside of me. God, I pray that you would use me this morning simply as a utensil, oh God, of your Holy Spirit to work in here. God, I pray that my words, that it wouldn't be my words, but God, that it would be your words, and that your word would penetrate to the hearts and minds of your people and to change your life, God, and not to leave the doors the same way that they came in, but to feel lighter, to feel less burdened, and just to have your joy after this and your peace. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 All right. Well, we're going to get you guys set up. So first thing we've got to do is we've got to take your Bible that's behind you. You can open it up to Luke 8. That's going to be where we're going to be at this morning. And then if you want to read it on your phone, there's a Bible app that you can have on Luke 8 there as well. If you don't want to do any of those things, well, we have all the scriptures on the screen for you this morning. And then even if you don't want to do that, you can just listen and let the Word of God just hover over you, okay? But this morning, I don't know if you guys know this, but I am a husband of my wife for 3 years. We've been married for 3 years. And I'm a dad of two. And so there's this thing that happens when you get the title of dad or husband, okay? And for the single guys out there, trust me, you'll see this. And then for all the dads and the husbands, you're about to see what I'm talking about. So when you're a dad or a husband, there's this thing that happens when you adopt one of these interests. And as I'm reading out, I just want the dads in the place, if this is your thing, if this is what you like to do, just raise your hand, okay? Just to verify, you know, that I'm not going crazy, okay? So watch this. If you're dad in the room and your thing is fitness, you love working out, you always, like, you'll buy fitness equipment, just raise your hand. Any fitness guys? Okay, I got some guy over there. All right. All right, if you're a guy in the room, if you're a dad or husband and you love to grill, like, why do they even create kitchen stoves? There's a grill. Okay, we got a lot of grillers in the place. I know what houses to go to. Okay, if you're a dad and you or a husband and you love cars, you love old style cars, you'd spend all your money on the old cars. Okay, there's a few in here. All right, what about carpentry? You like to build things. Maybe your wife tells you to build things. Okay, almost everybody's hands going up for that one. And then, all right, this is a big one for down here and down south. Hunting and fishing. Everybody loves. Okay, yeah, that's way more hands there. Hunting and fishing is our thing. Now, there is my favorite thing. I do love all those things, by the way. And so if you hunt or fish, please take me with you. If you grill a lot, please take me with you. The other day, I was Mr. Jeremy working out. He already took me with you. I don't think I want to go back again. But my favorite thing is landscaping and cutting grass. I tell you, man, when I get my lawnmower and I smell the grass, I got, like, it doesn't matter what I wear. I will mess up any shoes, any clothes, everything, just so I can make sure my yard looks good. And so I don't use a zero turn. Some of y'all got zero turns. I don't have that one. I just got a push mower. But I make sure, like, the lines are straight. And then I don't do the thing where you make a big old square and you just keep going smaller and smaller squares. No, I go straight and then straight. I just love it. And then trimming, I use edging, like the edging tools. Like, I make sure my edges look good. But there's one thing that I don't like when I'm cutting grass, and it's weed eating. I hate weed eating. I'll cut my grass maybe 3 or 4 times and then weed eat the fifth time because I hate it that much. Because, like, whenever you weed eat, It's just like, you know, you're trying to take care of it, and then all the stuff is flying at you, and if you're wearing shorts like I always do, it gets all over your legs, and if you're wearing socks, it gets in your socks. Got to throw the socks away. Everything's green because of your weeding and stuff. I hate it, okay? And sometimes I get stuff in my eye. It's annoying because I lose my sunglasses. But anyways, the thing is about this weed eating is I got this bush in my backyard, and it's very overgrown, okay? Like, because I don't weed eat often and I don't like to weed eat, I use my trimmer to do it. And, y'all, it's so overgrown, ain't no telling what's inside the thing. I might have something in there that I don't know of because I don't trim it. But they even have poison ivy coming out of it, okay? So one day, I get my weed eater. I'm like, all right, it's been long enough. I need to deal with this. And I take my weed eater and, you know, I don't have no short. I mean, I got shorts on. I got a short sleeve shirt on. And I'm weed eating and stuff. I didn't know there was poison ivy at first. So I'm weed eating and all that. And, you know, stuff's flying all over. I'm sweating all over. And all the moms in the room kind of know what's about to happen as I'm going on. But I'm weed eating everything. And then suddenly everything's just flying up on me. And, you know, I was just itchy, so I started scratching my forehead. And then my arms were itchy. I just started rubbing my arms, making sure, getting the grass off, you know, like I usually do, getting off my legs. And little did I know, I was spreading poison ivy all over my body. I was red at the end of the day. And I went inside to my wife, and I didn't take a shower yet. And so I gave her a hug, because I think I was going somewhere. And so I gave her poison ivy as well. And, y'all, it was a mess. It was terrible. I think I have 2 cortisone. Does anybody know what cortisone is? I got 2 sticks of that in my bag now because of something like that. And I just wanted to share with you guys that bush in my backyard that I neglected, that I failed to take care of, is just like our hurt in the building, okay? It's just like the hurt that you neglect. It's just like the things that happened to you when you were younger or whatever is going on with you right now. If you do not take care of it, if you don't solve it, if you don't take, in this scenario, a tremor and take care of it, then, man, it's going to grow even worse and worse, and it's going to affect your life, not only your life, but somebody else's. So with that being said, I want to get into the word of this lady and on how to deal with your hurt and what to do with it. And we're going to be in Luke 8, verse 43. And the context of the story before we get into it, because this is very important. It's important to read with context, okay? Jesus is walking through a crowd. There's a young man named Jairus who has a daughter, and his daughter is either dying or she's already dead. Different translations have that. And so as Jesus is walking, he comes up, tells her, and he's going. And so that's where we pick up right here in verse 42, which is in the Bible right here. So it says... That's a different version. All right, let's read up here. So as Jesus went, the people pressed around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. So this lady, we're going to stop right there on verse 43. So this lady, she has this, as you can see, this discharge of blood for 12 years. Now, according to Leviticus 15, 19 through 33, she is unclean. So she is not allowed, like anything she touches would be unclean. So if she touched this present, and then that present would then be unclean. And then if somebody came along and touched it, then they would be unclean. And so it was just this whole thing of how she's had this for 12 years. So that's isolation. All the hugs that you got this morning, she could not have because she would make someone unclean. You going to the supermarket yesterday or the day before for your Thanksgiving, she could not do that. You being in church this morning, she would not be able to be in church because of the uncleanliness. And so this lady's uncleanliness was for 12 years. And it says right here that she spent all her living on physicians. And she was not healed by anyone. Now, I will say doctors are really good, okay? Doctors are great. My son has a great doctor. I have a great doctor. My wife and my daughter has a great doctor. But these doctors obviously are not that great because she's been bleeding for 12 years, spent all her money, everything she had, and she was not healed. And I just wanted to share with you guys and ask a quick question. My first question of the morning is, who or what are your physicians? You know, this hurt, this pain that you have, what are you doing? What are you using? Like, who are you running to deal with your hurt? Who are you running to deal with your pain? And they're just not helping it. Or Actually, in Mark, it says they're making it worse. And then what are your physicians? What are you running to? It could be alcohol. You might have something that you're dealing with internally that you don't want to tell anybody, and you just medicate it temporarily. You just try to get rid of it. It could be vaping. It could be, you know, sometimes people even work harder. Working hard is kind of like a thing of where you're like, man, if I work hard enough, it'll take my mind off of it. I don't have to worry about the hurt. But the reality is we need to be like this lady. We need to be like this nameless lady in Luke 8. And the first point this morning is to run to the physician. That's the first thing that we have to do is run to him. We need to run to the physician, not these other ones that are temporary for you, not these other ones that kind of medicate it for a little bit, make you feel good for a little bit. We need to run to the physician, which is Jesus. We're going to keep reading God's word, and we're going to start in verse 44. It says, she came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. And keep that in mind, fringe of his garment. And immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? And when all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowd surround you and are pressing in on you. But Jesus said, no, someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me. And then it says in verse 47, and when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. So we're going to go back to verse 44 real quick. And you guys can notice that she touched the fringe of his garment. Now, this is really cool, okay? Because as I was studying for this, I was like, oh my goodness, this whole time I did not know this. So my interpretation of a hymn was like, you know, a little thread hanging off, okay? I thought that's what it was, and she grabbed the thread. But we're going to clear that up this morning, okay? And my first question was like, why in the world would she touch the garment? Like, if I could touch Jesus' hand or his face or his leg, I mean, I would grab him, not hit the fringe of the garment. But this is really cool, okay? So check this out. So this fringe of the garment, we see this. This is called a tzitzit, okay? Really weird. You can try to say it if you want. Can everybody say tzitzit? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That makes me feel better. But basically, this was worn on so in Numbers 15, 38 through 39, God told the people of Israel that they should wear tzitzit. It was a Jewish tradition. They would have four of them, and it basically, it would hang down, and they would have five knots in it, and the five knots represented the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. And then the four spaces in between represented God's name, which is Yahweh, which is YHWH. And basically, they were supposed to wear this on their garment, and so this is what Jesus wore. He had four of them on his garment. And then in Malachi 4:2, I should have that verse up here, it says, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Now, this word wings is translated to the word kanaf. And it's a Hebrew word, which basically means corner of garment, a wing, a shirt, or a skirt. And so, I'm sorry, excuse me, I need some water. I am parched this morning. Amen for water. But this word kanaf is translated to wing. And so the healing in its corner of garments. That's the whole reason why she grabbed the fringe of the garment, is because there was healing in its wings. Thank you. Praise God for living water. Amen. So the second thing that we have to do, and you got to realize, like, you know, this lady grabbed the fringe of the garment, and the second thing that she had to do, she had to get to him, right? We have to run to Jesus with our problems. We have to run to Jesus with our hurt. But the second thing we have to do is we have to trust that he's going to do something with it, right? It's a lot of times where you can get here, you can come up to the altar, and you can get here, but you don't know if he's really going to help you. You don't know if he's really going to change something in you. And so that's why we have to trust in him. We have to trust that he's going to do a power in our life. But then I want to share with you guys verse 48, which is honestly my favorite part of this whole story. After she was healed, and Jesus is like, no, somebody touched me. He's like, Peter is like, what are you talking about? There's a bunch of people around you. Everybody's touching you. After she was healed, immediately declared to everyone why she was healed in the first place. It says in verse 48, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And so the last point that I have this morning is to find rest in the physician. See, this lady, Jesus didn't tell her like a casual farewell of just like, okay, great, see you later. Or, you know, some of y'all dap up people and be like, all right, big dog, see you later, stuff like that, right? No, Jesus called her daughter, and he told her to go in peace, to go and live a life the way you were meant to live it. And the last thing that I have for you guys is to find rest in him. And here's the reality. If I was able to sit with each and every one of you and talk about the stuff that you go through, and the stuff that you're dealing with that you don't want to talk about with everybody else, I can promise you two things. One, we're going to relate a lot more than you think, okay? I am not some perfect man up here who's never been hurt before and is all of that. I'm not that, okay? I'm far from it, all right? But what I do know is that hurt is real, okay? And not a lot of people like to talk about it. And this morning when I had this, when I was given this this word to share, I realized I was really preaching to myself because the hurt is real, right? And maybe it's the same for you, and maybe you try to hide it and put on this fake thing like you're okay. But I want to tell you that you don't have to fake it, okay? You don't have to fake you're feeling good. You don't have to fake it anymore. But the second thing I want to share with you, you know, we would relate more than you think, but the second thing that we would relate in is that God is good. Amen? Like, he will take your hurt, he will take your pain, and he will send you off better than you came, okay? And I don't know that just from reading in the Word. I can give you countless times, but I know it from my own life. You know, I've came to God with my hurt, I came to him with my pain, and I've seen him do crazy things in my life. And I couldn't tell you that it was all because of me, because I pushed myself through it, because I temporarily medicated all of it by myself. Like, it was because of him, and he came in and really did some healing in it. And that's what we all need this morning. And so what I want to do is, would everybody please stand for me, and we're going to pray. I do want to say I usually preach to the youth, so messages are like 15, 20 minutes because of attention spans being so low. I'm sorry if you get out earlier this morning, but it gives more time for prayer. Amen. But if y'all wouldn't mind, would y'all bow your head and close your eyes? And I truly don't want you to just come in here and hear me like talk for like 10, 15 minutes and then walk away staying the same, right? There's something inside of you. You know, if you're a person in the building and you have hurt, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and tell me that you have hurt. Okay, you know that you do. You know that it's there. You know, you might be an older person in the room and you've been hiding it all this time and you never got to deal with it. But the reality is hurt is real. And sometimes it's not even your fault. It could be a ripple effect of somebody else's thing. And you know what? Actually, can we do something, one more thing? Can y'all all just open your eyes right back and look at me? And if you have hurt in the place, in the building, in the room, I just want to be the person. I just want to stand in this place for that person and say, I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry that I treated you that way. I'm sorry that I said that to you. If you're hurting and someone has neglected you or left you, I'm sorry, okay? And I apologize on their behalf. And you didn't deserve it, and whatever you're going through, I messed up and I apologize. I shouldn't have neglected you. I shouldn't have left you. I should have been a better dad. I should have been a better mother, but I'm sorry, okay? And I just wanted to apologize on their behalf, but let's pray. And God, I just pray right now, God, that there's some hurt in the building. There's someone in the room. God, if this is just for one person, then so be it, God. Amen to just one person being free, just being healed from their hurt. And so with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, if you have any hurt in the room and you want to be healed from it, just real fast, I'm going to ask you, just so I know who I'm praying for, could you just raise your hand and then put it right back down? Okay, you can put it down. I got you. Just wanted to know who to pray for. And now, this is the big kicker, is that I knew this message would not be applicable to almost every person. Reason behind it is because our hurt is something that you can deal with at any time. And if you're not ready to deal with it today, you don't have to, right? I'm not pushing you to, you know, do anything. But what I do know is that this message is also the same with your sin and with addictions and all that. And so if you're in a room, if you're in the room and you don't have hurt or pain, but you do have these things that are stopping you from prospering and stopping you, and you just have this constant challenge of holiness, then I would just pray that you too will respond to this and find the physician and come to him and trust in him and find rest in him and have your life changed by him. Amen. God, I just pray right now for the congregation of those people in the building that are hurting, God. God, I pray that they would find their healing in you, God, that there's healing in your wings, God, that there's healing in your power, oh God. God, I pray that they would find Christian counseling or Christian healing, whatever they need, oh God, that they would go to the right physicians, that they would go to the right place and come to you, oh God, with our hurt and our pain, and God, to talk to somebody about it. And God, I pray for all the people here that have that problem of sin or have those addictions that they know is stopping them. God, I pray that they too would just come to you and find rest in you. God, as we are gathered here in this place, our whole desire, our whole goal is just to get a glimpse of heaven, of what it's going to be like for our eternity. And God, just to glorify your name, to get here collectively and just to worship you. And God, you have us all in this process of sanctification. And God, you don't want us to hold on to our hurt any longer. So God, I pray that that this message would open up doors to people getting healing, to people talking about it, to people not just temporarily dealing with a problem that can stay there for so long. And that would be just like that bush, and it'll just grow and grow and grow until it starts affecting them and it starts affecting everybody else. God, I pray that we would be a church that deals with our hurt and be made different whenever we do. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So this morning, I know it's a little bit shorter, okay? All right. I'm used to preaching to teens, so bear with me. But what I do want to say is, you know, if you do have hurt or pain in the building, you can look at me and you can be inside the people right now and be in the crowd and pretend that everything's okay. And that's fine. You'll get so far with that. You'll get so far with faking whatever it is you're dealing with. But I would love to speak with you if you do have something going on and you want to talk. I would love it. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not any of those things. But you know what I am? I am your brother in Christ, right? I am somebody that can relate to you a lot more than you think. So if you guys want to talk to me, you're more than welcome. But yeah, I'm going to pray one more time, and then you guys will dismiss because it might be awkward right now. So let's pray one more time. God, I just thank you so much, God. I pray that your power and your presence will continue to stay with us. God, I pray that you would help us to become a witness in this world and start spreading your word, God. And God, that this word, we think that this word wasn't for us. I pray that they would take this word and share it with somebody else. And ask their spouse and ask their kids, man, what's going on? What's hurting you? God, I pray that this will open up conversations and doors for people to truly just deal with their hurt. God, I pray that as we go out the doors, that we would not be conformed to this world, God, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind, God, just like it says in your word. So we thank you so much, God. Please bless everyone as they go out, and we just thank you so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, there we go. Thank y'all so much for joining us again. The park will be open if y'all want to hang out for a little bit. Yeah.